This morning I want to speak to you about the Holy Spirit. And this is a subject that Pentecostals need to relearn. This is a subject that the Charismatics need to relearn. It is not denominational, for there are many Baptists, Presbyterians, and people in churches that might not emphasize the Holy Spirit, that may be more in tune with the Holy Spirit than those in some churches who emphasize it a lot. Because it is not what you know or what you say, but it's how you live that makes the difference. And so today, I want to cross all denominational lines here. And I want to talk to you about the Holy Spirit gate and ask you if you're going in and coming out of it lots. So would you open your hearts now and open your Bibles to Luke chapter 11. We're going to read verses 52 and verse 53. Luke 11, verse 52. Woe to you experts in the law, because you have taken away the key to knowledge. You yourselves have not entered, and you have hindered those who were entering. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for all that you've done in speaking to us so far today, in touching our hearts. Lord, we thank you for your precious word and for the Holy Spirit who is our teacher. Now we ask for anointing upon the preaching of the word and our hearing of it, that it might bring change and move us closer to you. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I need to read this again because I don't think it penetrated into your hearts strong enough. Luke chapter 11, verse 52. Woe to you experts in the law, because you have taken away the key to knowledge. You yourselves have not entered, and you have hindered those who were entering. This is a message about the Holy Spirit, and I entitle it The Holy Spirit Gate, because there's something that God is calling us to enter. And this entering into the Holy Spirit Gate is something that you must choose to do on a daily basis. And even if you are veterans of the faith and have been in a Holy Spirit environment for 30 or 40 years, you might be like so many who have gone to a casual, more formal religious experience where you have gone to a place which isn't so intense, a place where just by acknowledging everything and just by living in good morals and praying once in a while, you think you are walking in the Holy Spirit, but in fact, you might not be. Now, I'm not speaking to people in this church, because this is a Holy Spirit church, isn't it? We're not a people who have drawn back. We're not a people who have said, well, I'm going to be a little more casual. But I want to tell you, this can sneak up on you so quickly, and you can miss the move of the Holy Spirit and become a dried prune before you drop from the tree. It can happen. And it's happened to too many good Holy Spirit people, and I'm concerned about it in the Church of America and around the world. And I'm concerned about it here at Antioch. Because I want more than anything else that you're a Holy Spirit people and not just formal Christians who are good moral Christians and good law-abiding and Bible-continuing Christians. I'm looking for some Holy Spirit Christians. See, there's a reason why on the day of Pentecost that the community thought the disciples were drunk. And why Peter had to stand up and say, these men are not drunk like you think. Because they were emotional, to say the least. They were expressive, to say the least. They were exuberant. The joy of the Lord was in them, to say the least. I don't know if the fireballs were still floating on the top of their heads when they stepped out of the upper room, but certainly the effect of the fire was there. And they went out on the streets as bold as lions because something was moving in their lives, and that something was the Holy Spirit of God. See, your life is a journey, and you're traveling through along this life journey, and you're coming to many, many gates along the way. Some of the gates you shouldn't enter, like the one that says adultery over it. That's obviously a gate that will do you harm. There are other gates, like criminality, that you should not enter. And I'm not concerned about you for that reason, because you're good Christian folk. But there's a lot of gates that you have to approach and come to and then decide whether you're going to go in or not. There's a gate called higher education, maybe university. There's a gate called marriage. Could get you shaken. There's a gate called having children. There's lots of gates that you should come up to, and many of them you should go in, because it's your journey and it's the call of God on your life. And if you've gone through a few gates and you got hurt, it doesn't mean that you should stop going through gates. Your life's not finished. God didn't make you for stagnation. He made you for a revolution. But you can't find it unless you go through these gates. And there's one gate that comes before every single one of you. It's called the Holy Spirit gate. And this is the gate that you go through with your heart, with your emotions and with your being and with everything you've got. It's not just being a Christian, and it's not just studying the Word of God or understanding what the Bible says and being a good moral person. It's not just going on missions trips or doing wonderful acts of service. It's not just giving. This is far more intimate than that. It has to do with having a personal, dynamic relationship with the living God, so that His Spirit comes in you and speaks to you and leads you. This is a gate that you don't enter just once. In fact, you should be entering into this gate afresh every day, the Holy Spirit gate. Before I get out of bed in the morning, I say thank you for a good night's sleep, and then I have to go through the process of what happened in my dream. I had an amazing dream last night that I must tell you about before the sermon is finished. But then I want to enter. Even in my waking moments, I enter the Holy Spirit gate. In fact, most of the time I've been entering the Holy Spirit gates while I've been sleeping. Last week I had one night where I sang hymns all night long in my sleep. It was just a big worship service. And I woke up with tears in my eyes because I'd been in the presence of the Lord all night long. I want to ask you, was there some point along the way where you stopped pressing into the Holy Spirit? Where you gave up? Where you said, I don't know anymore. I'm not sure anymore. Life's just too complicated. I'm just too busy. Do you know Jesus came for this reason? To bring you the promise of the Father, and to show you how to enter into the most holy place? That's why Jesus came. Oh, yes, the first part of that was taking your sins away, because that kind of gets you ready for what it's all about. But if you think just taking your sins away is what it's all about, you missed it. You've been called into the fellowship of God's dear Son. And by His blood, He took your sins away so you could do it. But if you have your sins taken away and you're not doing it, then it's no wonder you're not smiling. It's no wonder you're a bit aimless. Every person is called to be a Holy Spirit person. A person in tune with the Spirit of God, who hears from God, walks with God, solves the riddles that God gives them, and goes and does amazing things because of the leadership of the Holy Spirit. An activity that will change you. An activity that will make you powerful. An activity that will release you into something otherworldly. You can't get there except by the Holy Spirit in your life. I would like to provoke you today to the Holy Spirit of God. I would like to call you, if I could, carry you. If I could take you by the hand, I'd lead you. If somehow I could put a fire under you to say, please don't waste your life. If you're not a Holy Spirit person, you don't have all your engines fired up. You do not. You're crippled if you're not a Holy Spirit person. I'm not trying to be mean. I'm trying to be loving today. Because what I'm telling you is the promise of the Father. It's the greatest blessing that I could give you today, that Jesus paid His blood for, the Father sent Him for, so that you might be a Holy Spirit man and a Holy Spirit woman. So there's a gate before you. And some say, I'm going to be more calculating. I don't think I'll go in that gate. It's too frightening. It's too costly. Others say, well, it's been misused so much, those charismaniacs, those flighty, yucky Christian people who are weird and flaky. That is not a good representation of the Holy Spirit of God. And please do not disqualify yourself because of a few loose bolts. I'm talking to you about a move of the Spirit of God in your life. I'm after you today because I love you. And I want to give you four things that are necessary for you to go through the Holy Spirit gate. See, in this chapter of Luke chapter 11, it starts in verse 37, and the Lord Jesus looks at the Pharisees, and He gives what is known by theologians as the six woes. He says, woe unto you Pharisees. And then He tells them what they've been doing that is very religious, but not very Holy Spirit-ish. And He comes down to this point, and He says, you experts, you have the key of knowledge. You understand what the Word says. You understand all the shadows, all the types. You know about the outer court. You know about the washings. You know about the sacrifices. You know about the holy place. You know about the Holy of Holies. You know about the table of showbread. You know about the candles of incense. You know about the cherubim. You know. And He says, but you have not entered. And in fact, you're stopping others who want to enter. I love the people of God, no matter their denomination. If they call upon the name of Jesus, I have great admiration for them. But I have something growing inside of me that says, please do not put down the gift of the Holy Spirit, the work of the Holy Spirit in this land. Because this is our only hope for America and for your family and for your children and for your wife and your husband. If the Holy Spirit of God isn't moving in us, and if we're not moving in the Holy Spirit, we will not have what is necessary to win this day and to give what our children need. I was watching little Asher. He's just 2 years of age. And when I came off the stage, he yelled out, Papa, Papa, Papa. And then he came running over and I picked him up. And as Tom was leading in worship, he was really intense. His eyes were closed. And so all of a sudden I looked over at little Asher and his eyes were closed. And he was imitating Tom. And I thought, it's all right, Asher. You're starting to feel something. You're starting to feel the wind of the Holy Spirit. You're starting to say, so this is what I'm supposed to do. You're starting to taste just baby bits of the Holy Spirit in his life. Till his heart opens. I don't know why good Christian people have closed hearts. It's an amazing thing to me. When I don't see a move of the Holy Spirit on a Christian's life, it's an amazing thing to me. When people tell me that they can't hear God and they've walked with God for a long time, it's an amazing thing to me. I'm not accusing you today, but I'm not excusing you today. I'm calling you. I'm pleading with you to be who God made you to be, and to be filled with the Holy Spirit of God. So here are the four things. One, you really need to be a humble person if you're going to go through the Holy Spirit gates continuously. Now, I'm not talking about being humble in the sense of being polite. You're all really polite. You are the nicest people. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about surrender. When I talk about humility, I'm talking about surrender. That's the humility I'm talking about. When you surrender your heart, the thing that I can't see, the thing that nobody else can see, only you and God see, the inner man, how many of you are there where you say, I surrender it all to you, Lord. I humble myself. This is the humility I want. I surrender. I'm your captive. I'm a prisoner of the Lord. I no longer belong to myself. It's not my ideas, my smart thinking, my logical designs, my personality, my disposition, or any other excuse. Lord, I surrender to you. See, that's what it costs. And that's why some people don't go in the Holy Spirit gate. Because you can fake lots of things. But you can't fake out God. You just can't. He knows the intents of your heart. He still loves you. Even though he knows the intents of your heart. He really does. So you enter humbly, but totally surrendered. Secondly, you have to do this individually. You cannot be part of the popular crowd and enter the Holy Spirit gates. In fact, we read in Matthew chapter 7, in verse 13, enter through the narrow gate. We're talking about a gate. says, enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate and narrow is the road, the way that leads to life, and only a few find it. This word life is not eternal life, as most evangelicals think. This word life is Zoe, which means quality of life. It means God life. It's saying there's a narrow gate to enter into God life. And most people don't go there. Their lives are really messed up. They go through the broad gate, which doesn't have God life in it. It's got human life. It's got traditional life. It's got popular life. But it's a life that most people go through. And they end up at the end of the day going to heaven because Jesus paid for their sins and they've accepted. But they're really messed up. And very few people walk in through this narrow gate and receive this Zoe life. This life of the Holy Spirit. Because it takes a lifetime for the Holy Spirit to fix you. How many of you discovered that? You know, here you are in the middle of your journey. Maybe you've been Christian for 20, 30, 40, 50 years, and you're saying, Lord is still working on some basics. Well, that's true with me. But this is an individual gate. It's so narrow, two people can't go together. The Holy Spirit gate is a gate that the Lord brings you into. It's one that you have to hear from God for yourself. You know, you cannot be like your dad. You shouldn't be like your dad. You shouldn't be like your mom. I have a great godly dad and mom, but I'm not like them. My grandfather, Derek Prince, is an outstanding man of God, but I can't be like him. But I learned an awful lot from him. And I received a mantle and an impartation from him. But I have to go through this Holy Spirit gate by myself. And you know, everything that Grandpa Derek ever taught me and everything that my father ever taught me in the Word of God, I challenged. Because I want the Holy Spirit to teach me. I'm not a rogue or a renegade or controversial. I am just a person who says, God, I've got to get it from you. I've taken everything that Grandpa Derek has taught me. Now let me put it to the test. Let me see what the Word of God says. And thank you, Grandpa, for all the stuff, all the material, all the anointing that you've given me. But I have to go through the Holy Spirit gate for myself. It's individual. Nobody can stop you on this journey. Nobody can hold you back, man of God. Woman of God, nobody can stop the destiny and call of God on your life because there's a Holy Spirit gate that's before you and it's your gate to go through every day. And if you go through this gate every day, wait and see what God makes you to be. Amen. Now the third thing that you need to really go into this gate is boldness. You know, you have to have humility, which is a real total surrender. But at the same time, you have to be as bold as a lion. Because who are you to go through the gate of heaven and stand before the Creator of heaven and earth? Who do you think you are? But the Bible says, come boldly into the presence of God. Because of the blood of Jesus. And that's why you're bold. Because Jesus paid with his own blood for you to have entrance into the holy place and to be a recipient of the Holy Spirit of heaven. That's why you come boldly. And God Almighty says, do it. Come on. My son paid for this. I sent him to pay for it. Now you come and get what's yours. This is the promise of the Father. Come. Jesus, the Bible says, after he rose from the dead, that he went behind the curtain for us, before us, into the most holy place. He went before us to show us how to do it. It used to be only the high priest could go into that place, but not anymore. Now you can go. This is not about your salvation. That happened in the outer court. That happened just in stage one. But going behind the curtain into the presence of God, the Bible says, come for help in time of need to the throne of grace, to the Holy Spirit. Lastly, to enter into this Holy Spirit gate, you got to come completely. Have you ever filled out one of those forms on the computer where it says put your name, your address, your zip code, and your date of birth, and your email address or whatever, and then you fill it all out, and you push send, and it comes back, meep, error, you didn't fill out line number 3. And it's in red. And until you put your middle name in there, it won't process the thing. And it's a computer. You can't argue with it. You have to put it in. It's like that with the Holy Spirit gate. You can't come through this gate and leave parts of your life. You can't. Or else it disconnects. It cuts off. It goes delete. And you say, but God, where are you? I'm a Christian. He says, no. You have to come completely. You're a Christian. I'm the living God. Hello? I have so many scriptures I want to read to you, but I'm just going to read one more. And it's in John chapter 10, verse 1. I tell you the truth, the man who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in some other way is a thief and a robber. The man who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The watchman opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. Jesus used this figure of speech, but they did not understand what he was telling them. Therefore, Jesus said again, I tell you the truth, I am the gate for the sheep. All who ever came before me were thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. He will come in and go out and find pasture. So, what is this gate? Jesus is the way, isn't he? He's the gate, and he's already gone in before us. Now he calls us to go in and out of this gate. It's into the presence of God Almighty. It's to find good mountain pastures so you can be fed in the things that will feed your soul and feed your spirit and take you into the purposes and calling for your destiny. My sheep know my voice. This is a Holy Spirit thing. And they follow me, and they don't follow strangers. And they move in and out of this gate, this Holy Spirit gate, into the presence of the Lord. I want to encourage you to every day reconnect and enter through the gates of the Holy Spirit and say, Lord, teach me today. You don't have to be like anybody else. You don't have to be like me for sure. But you do have to ignite your relationship with God and make it very real and do a whole lot more talking and listening and obeying. Let me tell you about my dream last night, because it's just part of my journey. was actually during the day, the end of the day. I was talking with Pastor Jesse, and I said to him, I'm feeling rejection. I said, you know, I don't know what it is, but there's seasons when I feel really good about Antioch International Church, and I feel excited about everything that's happening. And then there's times when I feel a little down. And I say, I know it's connected to the commitment of the people. When I see people really committed and really there and really putting everything in, I have this excitement inside of me. I was just being vulnerable. And I said, but right now I'm feeling this thing of rejection. Then he said a few words to encourage me. It wasn't heavy or anything. I was just sharing. But then I went to sleep and I had a dream. The Holy Spirit gave me a teaching dream and an instruction dream about this subject. And in the dream, I was sitting at the front of a church. It was very dimly lit. And I was on the kind of the window section. There was an aisle there. And I was sitting on the front row. The meeting hadn't started. And then I looked, and right in the front row of the church was a huge demonic stronghold. It wasn't this church. It was no church I could identify. But this demon spirit was standing there more than 7 feet tall. And he was all dark, and he was in the dark. And I looked over, and I saw him standing there in the darkness. And I stepped across the aisle, and I put my hand on this thing, and I said, I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. And this 7-foot-something creature, form of a man, fell on his knees. And I put my hand on his back. And I said, I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. I command you to dissolve and fade away. And this demon went slowly down into the floor. And I continued to rebuke this thing until it was a stain. It was just a stain on a hardwood floor. And written on the stain with its chemical composition. In writing. He was completely gone. And I went back. I wanted to show my dad. He's in heaven now. But he was my pastor. One who taught me how to study and preach the word. And I remember going in at the back of the church, and there was my dad sitting at a desk. And I said, hey dad, come, I want to show you something. I wanted to show him the stain on the floor and the stronghold demon spirit that I just rebuked and saw dissipate. And he says, yeah, I'll be there in a minute, Peter. And then I went over to another room, and there was my wife, and she was cooking. And I said to her, that needs to be cooked a little more. Because it wasn't finished. She said, I know. And I went back to the front of the church, and I saw the stain still there on the floor where this demon spirit was. And I went back to my dad, said the same thing, and I went back to Joy. And then I went back to the front of the church, and I woke up. And the Holy Spirit spoke to me. And he said, that was the demon stronghold of rejection. And it's gone. And I said, yeah, you know, it really has. Because there's something inside of me that loves you to pieces, but another thing that says I don't care. Because I'm about serving God with all my heart and my strength, and should none go with me? I mean, these aren't just words. You need to know it. I'm just sharing with you a little bit of my going through the Holy Spirit gate. My going in and out and finding green pastures. And I realized that going back and talking to my dad meant that the rejection in my life that's associated with being a pastor is not an issue anymore for me.
The other one, where my wife was cooking, that had to do with the Jewish people. The rejection over them, of which I am a part, is not fully cooked. So, I had an amazing dream, a teaching dream. The Lord showed me that big, ugly, stronghold demon of rejection is dead. Hooray, hooray, the witch is dead. But I just told you that story because I want to let you in a little bit. That's what intimacy is. It's into me, see? You're on this journey too. It was just an example. This happened to me last night. But you're on this Holy Spirit journey. Man of God, woman of God, there's a gate before you. Please do not be a nice Christian only. Be a Holy Spirit Christian. I'm not asking you to do something weird or crazy or flaky. But let the Holy Spirit come with His love and His power and His authority and His grace and His wisdom and His plan, His assignment, His agenda, His glory. Oh, Holy Spirit of God, we need you. So I started off with this verse that said, "Woe unto you, Pharisees, because you have great knowledge, but you will not enter, and you're stopping others from entering." That's happening too much in the church in America. It's even coming from good Pentecostal and charismatic leaders. Because whenever we get personally threatened, somebody's going to leave our church or something like that, we put roadblocks because of our own personal feelings. Instead of wanting them to go in the wind of the Holy Spirit and follow the direction of the Holy Spirit that they discovered in the Holy Spirit gate that's before their lives. If you ever see me doing that, please come and tell me. I want with all my heart to be a kind of pastor that says, go after the Holy Spirit wherever He leads you, whatever He says to you, and find who you're supposed to be. But if He's not leading you, don't go on a whim and miss God either. I want to pray over you now. Some of you really need some healing in this area. Some of you need some repentance. You need a fresh move of the Holy Spirit in your life. The Lord says, if you ask, He'll give you the Holy Spirit. He will. He will. But you have to ask and keep on asking. You have to go through this door every day. Now, I'd like you to pray a prayer of dedication unto the Lord. And I'll ask you to open your hands in front of you. I know I do this all the time, but I can't help it. And so I ask you to do it with me again. Would you pray this prayer? Say, Heavenly Father, thank you for saving me. Thank you for giving me your Holy Spirit. Today I rededicate my life to go through the Holy Spirit gate into your presence, to walk intimately with you, to talk with you, to fellowship with you, to hear from you, to obey you, and to be filled with your Holy Spirit. I welcome you, Holy Spirit, in my life and for my family. for my children. Move upon them, Lord, and give them the blessing of the Holy Spirit. We receive your kindness to us today. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now I want to pray over you. Now I speak the blessing of the Lord over your life. Lord, I pray that nobody will be wounded or judged inappropriately because of this word today. Lord, I pray that it will be received with gentleness, but with purpose. Lord, I ask you now to confirm the preaching of your word with signs and wonders, with individual dreams and words from heaven, with words of kindness and goodness, with blessings that take us by surprise. Lord, I ask for the wind of the Holy Spirit to come upon your people and to strengthen them in these days. And I speak the blessing of the Lord on your life and on your children and on your grandchildren. I speak it over you in Jesus' name. Amen.